Welcome to Hungry for God Church free weekly podcast. Enjoy this message by Vernell J.R. Samuel. For more information about Hungry for God Church, visit h4gchurch.com.
I want you to do something. Again, connect it to somebody next to you. Look at somebody. Say, get ready. Get ready for a move of His Spirit in your life. Come on. As you guys release this worship and praise, God is getting ready to release something back to you. Amen? Come on. I want you guys to open up your Bibles. We're going to read a number of scriptures today. A number of scriptures. We're going to start from 1 Timothy chapter 2. And with the word that came forth from our brother David, that there is a jealousy in God's heart for His people. A jealousy in which He desires us to be for real, right? To be serious. And one of the things I love about Hungry for God is that being serious means first being authentic. It's not about putting on a show, right? It's not about pretending. It's about coming as you are. Coming as you are. And meeting God, saying, God, this is all I know. This is all I have. You know, God never asks you to give Him more than you have. And so the revelation that you have of God is so important, because I realize worship is not something you do to see God. It's something you do after you see Him. Worship is not something you do to see Him. And when you try to, what you really do, the Bible says that everyone that has been praised God, we can all praise, but not everyone can worship. Everybody that has breath can praise, but not everyone can worship. Everyone was created to worship, but not everyone has received a revelation that brings them into worship. The Bible says we worship how? In spirit and in truth. As long as I remain carnal, natural, I'm not in worship yet. And so we praise until we enter into the Spirit where we can worship. And in 1 Timothy 2, I'm going to talk to you guys about, we talked about the last few weeks about the heart of prayer, right? We talked about how prayer is about building a relationship, right? It's not about getting desired answers. It's about building a desired relationship. We talked about prayer just simply having communication with God, as talking to God as you would talk to a friend. The Bible says in Philippians chapter 4 that in everything we should let our prayers and supplications be known to God. And the peace that passes all understanding shall guard our hearts and minds. I don't know if I should use my board today, but if you guys take notes, yes, we can just flow that way. But he says, in everything or in all things, let your prayers and your supplications be known unto God. God wants you to pray about everything. He wants you to talk to Him about everything. He wants you to share life with Him. He wants to know everything about you. Why does God care? The Bible says, because He cares about you. To cast your cares on Him, because He cares for you. I love the fact that God actually cares about little old me. The God who created the whole universe, who got billions of galaxies to take care of, who has the earth to run, yet He individually cares about each and every one of us. Isn't that amazing? That God can hear my voice out of a crowd of billions of people, I can lift up my voice and talk to God, and God hears me. Just like you can lift up your voice, call on his name, and you'll be saved, he says. It says, real simple. But when we get a little bit deeper in prayer, there was so many things I wanted to cover, and this is what downloaded in my spirit before I got here, and I still feel it, so I want to get a little deeper today. Is that all right? And talk about the how of prayer. So we talked about the heart of prayer, but I want to talk to you about something that I don't think many of you guys have ever really heard about. But let's look at 1 Timothy 2:1. The Bible says, therefore I exhort first of all that what? Supplications, prayers, intercessions, and giving of thanks be made for all men. All right, let's just stop right there. Paul was writing to Timothy, is expressing the need for prayer for all people. That everyone needs prayer, that we all need to come to God, build relationship with him. But then he begins to explain that there is an order to prayer. How many of you are familiar with the term that God is a God of order? Right? God is a God of order. He does everything in decency and in order. And one of the things that I didn't realize was that there is even an order to prayer. And right here in this verse, Paul said, I exhort you first, I encourage you, admonish you. First of all, the type of prayer I want you to give to God is called what? Supplications. Supplications. And I want to teach a little bit today about supplications. That he says that this is the most critical type of prayer. I realize that supplication is so important that if you don't know how to pray this way, you won't know how to get answers to your prayers. Look at Psalm 6, verse 9. David, the beloved of God, had a deep intimacy with God, who in the book of Psalms, he shares so much about the secrets of his relationship and all that was going on in his own life. He said this, the Lord has heard my what? Supplication. The Lord will receive my prayer. In other words, David said, I'm lifting up what's called supplication, and because I give God supplication, he will receive my prayers. Which means, God doesn't receive all prayers. But he said the type of prayers that God receives are preceded with supplications. So, real quickly, the word supplication in the Greek is the word desis. D-E-E-S-I-S. Desis. And it literally translates petitions. Petitions. Yeah, let's just say petition. But what's interesting about the word supplications is that it's actually a legal term. Do I have any lawyers in here? Or future lawyers? All right, got one over here, we know for sure. Who's that? Oh, yeah, it's the crystal. Come on. Supplication. I don't know if you guys ever heard the term, but supplication, from a legal standpoint, is a written document that has evidence to produce or provide a reason for a case to be sustained. Supplication is a written form or written document of evidences that gives rights or benefits to a person who's on trial. So, in other words, it's written evidence as to why a person should receive benefit or favor from a judge. A supplication. It's a petition. So, have you guys seen petitions before somebody come and we just sign some papers and we say, hey, this is why this person should be let off trial, or this is why this show should get off the air, or something like that? We make all petitions for all types of stuff today. But you know what? Not all petitions really change anything, right? Because the thing about a petition or about supplications is that The only thing that substantiates a supplication is the quality of the evidence. All right? So if I go, well, this show should get off the air because I'm a Christian and I don't like gays. This show needs to get off air. And we got 1,500 signatures. And there's no evidence, there's not a case strong enough to get the show off the air. Guess what's going to happen? The show's going to stay on. All right? What makes supplications powerful is the quality of the evidence. Okay? Now, the Bible says when we go to God, we ought to come to Him, first of all, with supplications. Evidence that's based off of something that is written. So if I say the Bible says in James, we pray and then we pray amiss. One of the reasons why we pray amiss or our prayers don't work is because the reasons or the evidence attached is not substantial. When we pray, we're supposed to pray based on what is written. Hebrews 11 says, now faith is the substance of things hoped for, the what? Evidence of things not seen. So when I pray, I'm coming with the evidence of the word. The Bible says faith comes by hearing and hearing the word of God. When I pray, I'm supposed to pray the word. I'm supposed to build a case based off of what is written so that my prayers can be received. I believe it's Isaiah 41, verse 21, if I'm not mistaken. He tells us that we are supposed to produce a case strong enough for God. Let's look at that. Turn to that. Isaiah 41, 21, I think. Somebody give me my laptop. So thanks, Darren. I want to give you these verses because I want to teach today. I want to build off of this. Thank you. All right, so first thing you should be writing down is that my prayers must be based on what is written in order for it to be received. Isaiah 41, 21. You guys turned there already? What does it say? Ha. Ha. You heard him? Woo. Wait. I want them to read. We got to read this together. Present your case, says the Lord. Who? Present your case. Bring forth your strong reasons, says the King of Jacob. So the Bible says when you come before His throne, you should come boldly, confidently, come boldly before the throne of grace. What are we coming boldly on? See, when you have a strong case, you're confident that what you're declaring in the courtroom will be substantiated. I know I'm going to win my case because the evidence is too great. You see, do you know that you're supposed to be so confident that every time you pray, you should expect answers 100% of the times? You shouldn't be wondering if God heard you when you pray. Lord, I know you hear me because I'm praying based off of the supplications, the reasons, or the evidence that are built based off of your word. Come on. You shouldn't be coming into the courtroom of heaven and the Bible says, come boldly. The righteous are as bold as lions. But there is somebody who's going to try to intimidate you when you stand before the courtroom of heaven. Now, I don't know if you've ever realized this, but I want you to realize that there is a courtroom in heaven. That's why at the end, we're all going to stand before the great white throne of judgment. And God is going to judge every single person based on what they've done with their body. Because there is a courtroom in heaven. So picture this. There's a courtroom in heaven, and then there is a judge. The Bible says in Hebrews, let me show you this quick breakdown. And I'm going to try to just break it down as much as I can. But I feel like this is important for us to get. Look at Hebrews chapter 9. I'm sorry, chapter 12. Verse 23. Hebrews 12, verse 23. I'm going to 22, sorry. But you have come to Mount Zion and to the city of the living God, the heavenly Jerusalem, to an innumerable company of angels, to the general assembly and church of the firstborn who are registered in heaven. I love that. The minute we came to Christ, we came to all that stuff. Verse 22, read it on your own time so you can think about it. But then he says, you've been registered in heaven. The Bible says that we are citizens of heaven, that we don't become citizens of heaven after we die. We become citizens of heaven the minute we receive Jesus Christ. We pass from death to life. We're translated from the kingdom of darkness to the kingdom of his dear son. So you're a citizen of heaven. Look at somebody next to you and say, you're a citizen of heaven today. Amen. And so because you're registered in heaven and your name is written in heaven, the Bible says now to the general assembly, the church that's registered in heaven, to God, the what? Judge of all, the spirits of just men made perfect. So the Bible calls God a judge. All right? So we have a judge. And then there's a judge. And then when, let's just say you're on trial today. You're on trial. So we stand before a judge. And anybody that comes on trial needs a lawyer to defend their case with them, right? Now, who's our lawyer? We have an advocate or lawyer. His name is Jesus. Amen? 1 John chapter 2, verse 1 tells us this. 1 John 2. And I want to read it with you. 1 John 2, verse 1. We're going to work our visual people today. Amen. 1 John 2, 1. Are we there? My little children, these things I write to you so that you may not sin. And if anyone sins, that's the key word right there, right? If anyone sins, I want you to highlight that if you can, underline it, do something. And if anyone sins, okay, so he tells us we don't have to sin. If we do, we have an advocate with the Father, Jesus Christ, the righteous. All right. So we have a judge and we have an advocate who is defending our case even if we sin. So my sin is not an excuse for not being able to pray and bring heaven to earth, to fulfill the will of God. Amen. And the reason why we need an advocate if anyone sins is because we have an adversary whose name is who? No, the adversary. That means paying attention. Amen. The adversary is opposite of the advocate. He's an enemy, an opponent, or the Bible calls him the accuser of the brethren, right? His name is Satan. We read it right after praise and worship, right? Revelation chapter 12, verse 11 talks about that. That we have the accuser of the brethren. So we're going to read it again, just so that we don't get that mixed up again. Verse 9. So the great dragon was cast out, that serpent of old, called the devil and Satan, who deceives the world. He was cast to the earth, and his angels were cast out with him. Then I heard a loud voice saying in heaven, now salvation and strength and the kingdom of our God, and the power of his Christ have come. For the who? Accuser of our brethren, who accused them before our God day and night. So one of the main jobs of the enemy right now is to make accusations against you. That when you sin, or if you sin, and you do something outside of the will of God, you know what the enemy does? He looks at what you do, and he comes before God, who is a judge, and tries to build a case as to why he should do what he does, which is to steal, kill, and destroy. See, the devil is a liar, but he cannot lie when he stands before God. In the presence of truth, the devil has to tell the truth. He's a liar, but when he comes before God in the courtroom of heaven, he has to tell the truth. Why? Because in any courtroom, I can't come in a lie. It carries no substance, carries no weight. So what the devil does is, him and his minions, they look and they huddle around and they look in your life and they try to send things your way, try to get you all screwed up and mixed up. And then what they do is they try to get you to slip up. And if you do, say, aha, look, God, look at what she just did. Look at how she just disobeyed your word. And he tries to build a case. Remember when he was going, the Bible says in the book of Job, he was going to and fro on the earth looking to see who he can try to build a case against. All right? So this is spiritual warfare right now. How many people know that? If you didn't know that, your faith is on trial every day. The devil is looking for a way in, and the Bible tells, gives us keys as to how we can live above the accusations of the enemy. But once again, in order for me to be able to stand against and resist him, I gotta have my case built up. The devil knows God is a judge, and he interacts with him that way. Whether you think about it that way or not, that's the way the enemy works. All right? And I love the fact, see, I think this is why we have to all go to jury duty. Because that's what, you'll be like, well, I'm not no lawyer, I'm not no judge, I mean, advocate, I don't know about this stuff, but I believe God put it in to our society so that we should all be able to understand what it looks like to be in a courtroom. Thank God for TV today. We can watch Law and Order. We got all these shows today. We can see what's going on in court, right? There's a lot of injustices going on too. But that's this courtroom. We're talking about the courtroom of heaven. One thing I want you to know about the courtroom of heaven is that it's been designed to work in our favor. Because we got an advocate in Jesus. The judge is our dad. And then we have a witness. And then we have a witness for our case. The Bible says in 1 John 5 that there is one who bears witness for us, and his name is the Holy Spirit, the Spirit of truth. Hallelujah. So when the enemy tries to come in like a flood and bring a case against you and try to talk you out of why you can't have what you have, the Bible tells us that we have an advocate in Jesus, and then we have the Holy Spirit, the Spirit of truth, who is there to give witness as to why the Lord should bring favor in your case or my case and not his. Isn't that fascinating? Let's read that together. 1 John chapter 5. 1 John 5. 1 John chapter 5, verse 6. 1 John 5, verse 6. We have it saying that? All right, it says this. This is he who came by water and blood, Jesus Christ. Not only by water, but by water and blood. And it is the Spirit who bears witness, because the Spirit is truth. For there are three that bear witness in heaven: the Father, the Word, and the Holy Spirit, the Godhead, the Trinity, it himself, all bear witness in heaven for us, for our case. That the Bible says Jesus is interceding for us. He is standing up for us. That's why the Bible says that he is our righteousness. So when I'm not righteous, when I don't do things all right here down on earth, in heaven we have an advocate, we have a witness, and the Bible says that we're not going before God in our own works or our own righteousness, our own goodness, but we go to God and we're confident because we are in Christ and Christ is representing us in heaven. This is supplication I'm talking about. Now, this is how you get the advocacy of Christ to work in your life. Matthew 5, verse 25. So phenomenal. The Holy Spirit, I had my notes, my computer, then he was not even opening. So I'm just flowing right now. I believe that's the right verse. Matthew 5, verse 25. Verse 24, go back. First, you reconcile to your brother, and then you come and offer your gift. All right? Let's just say that gift is prayer, okay? So he says that, go back to 23. I don't want to just start there. Therefore, if you bring your gift to the altar, that gift is, let's talk about, let's look at it, that gift is prayer. If you bring your gift to the altar, and then remember that your brother has something against you, leave your gift there before the altar and go your way. First, be reconciled to your brother and then come and offer your gift. So he makes it very clear, before we expect to see our prayers to continue to work on behalf of us, we got to make sure we got things going on right between each other. Amen? That it's so important that you make amends, that you seek peace with everyone that's around you, because your relationship with one another greatly impacts whether or not your prayers will be received from God. Okay? Because this is a part of living a life that will be pleasing to God, and that will God, that Jesus, when Jesus advocates for us, he needs to make sure that we got what we need to be taken care of down here first. All right? So he says, verse 25, now what? Agree with your adversary quickly. Now who's the adversary? Why would I want to agree with the adversary? Why would I want to agree with the accuser, the devil? He says, agree with your adversary quickly while you are on the way with him. You see, when we sin, we're not in the way of God. We're in the way of the adversary. Okay? And when we walk in disobedience to God, the adversary is building a case against you before the Father and saying, she's in sin, he's in sin. Now, I've got legal right to come in. Remember, he needs to get permission first. So, the way that we defend ourselves, the Bible says, don't cover up your sins. Acknowledge it, confess it, agree with the adversary, say, yep, I did do that. See, when I confess my sin, I'm taking away the case the enemy can try to use against me. The worst thing you can do is sin and cover it up and try to act like nothing happened. No, repent quickly. Lord, I did that. I messed up. Agree with the adversary quickly while you're on the way with him, unless your adversary now delivers you to the judge, who is God. The judge hands you over to the officers and you'll be thrown into prison. This is a New Testament verse. Jesus is saying, if you don't learn to repent quickly and you allow sin to remain, the Bible says in Ephesians, you don't have to turn to it, that we should not give place to the devil or give him a foothold or a way in. The Bible says, be angry and sin not, and don't give place to the devil. Because if the way we give place to the devil is what we call opening a door in our lives. You ever heard that term? You open a door through sin and allow the enemy in. You open up doors when you disobey God's word, do things your way, and you're giving place to the enemy to build a case as to why he can make you sick, why he can kind of steal your finances, when he can try to come between your marriage, when he can try to come and do all types of stuff to bring depression on your life. Those things are not supposed to be your reality. But what happens is, if you allow the enemy to come in and you don't agree with him by confessing your sins to God, then the Bible says the adversary can deliver you to the judge in the courtroom. Notice, the adversary knows he's going to a judge. He deals with God like a judge. He delivers you to the judge. The judge hands you over to the officers, and you're thrown into prison. Now, the Lord will allow you to be in prison and be in bondage in some way, shape, or form until you learn to repent confess your sins to God. And the Bible says in 1 John 1:9, he is faithful and just to forgive you of your sins. And once you are forgiven, you are set free. You're no longer in that prison anymore. So the key is, if I want to stay out of prison and stay out of bondage, I got to learn to confess to God all my sins. The greatest thing you could ever do is, Lord, I messed up. Lord, yep, I did that. Father, I'm sorry. And this is to remove that self-righteousness. And we all, in John, it also says, if you say you have no sin, you're lying. All right? So now, the greatest thing you can do is confess your sins. If you have sin to confess, confess it to him right now. Go ahead. Nobody's listening. Go ahead. Go ahead, go ahead. All right. Self-righteous, don't want to say nothing. Amen. All right, so all of that to say, we have a judge, we have an advocate, and whose name is who? Jesus. We have an adversary, his name is Satan, the accuser of the brethren. But now, here's how we get our supplications to work. We build build evidence as to why God should legally bless us. We build evidence as to why God should legally heal us. We build evidence as to why God should legally release deliverance or breakthrough of our life. We build evidence, and the way that we build that evidence is based off of two things, two witnesses. In 1 John 5, it says what? We have the blood, and we have the word. Actually, it says three things, right? So 1 John 5, and we're wrapping up. 1 John chapter 5, look at it, verse 8. All right, so it says, in the courtroom of heaven, in verse 7, there are three that bear witness. The Father, your Father in heaven. The Word, whose name is Jesus. The Word is a person, right? We're talking about Jesus. And the Holy Spirit. And these three are one. And there are three that bear witness on earth. The Spirit, the water, and the blood. And these three agree as one. Okay, so as we make our arguments for a right or benefit, that the one in authority, the one who power belongs to God himself, as he begins to, we stand before him and say, Lord, this is why my prayers should be received. This is why, despite the fact that I have sinned, and I confess it to you, this is why my prayers can be received. And John says the three things that bear record is the Spirit, the water, and the blood. And just real simple, what that simply means, the Holy Spirit, the Spirit of truth, was our advocate, our helper, because he lives in you. That's one of the reasons why God should stand up for you. And number two, the Bible says the water. Ephesians 5 tells us that the water is the word of God, that we are washed by the washing of the water of the word of God. How shall a young man cleanse his ways? Through the word. The word is water on earth. This is what water, the Bible says. And then he says, and the blood. The blood testifies of the blood of Jesus, what Jesus Christ shed. The fact that he died for our sins and what his blood purchased on behalf of us. That when we pray and we release our supplication, these are the three biggest things we stand on, right? The Spirit, the rhema word, the water, the logos word, the prophecy, the Spirit, the logos, the written word, and the blood, the finished work of Christ. What did Jesus Christ do on the cross? What did he accomplish at Calvary? We build our cases upon these three things. What is written, what word has been prophesied over my life, and the blood, the finished work of Jesus. Okay? So I build my supplications on the written word, what he said already. The biggest thing, I'm going to make it real simple. The greatest thing you could ever do is when you read the Bible, you just don't read it. You pray it. You pray the Bible. So when I read 1 John 5, for example, let me show you how easy it is. You don't even have to understand it. Just pray it. For Lord, you said in your word, there are three that bear witness in heaven. The Father, the Word, and the Holy Spirit. Thank you for bearing witness on my behalf. And on earth, the Spirit, the water, and the blood, all in agreement for me. Lord, I thank you. Just real simple. I pray, Lord, I need to understand what that means, but I thank you because it's written. I'm telling you, there are many verses I did that on, and then, just say a week or two later, it starts coming to me and I start figuring out. The Holy Spirit starts revealing. That's what you prayed for. That's what you prayed about. And it begins to unfold. You pray the Bible. Pray it. Pray the Bible. That's what supplication is. I'm building my case on this. So I go back. Verse 9, if we receive the witness of men, the witness of God is greater, for this is the witness of God, which has testified of the Son. He who believes in the Son of God has the witness in himself. He who does not believe God has made him a liar. Lord, I believe in you. I'm not going to be a liar because I have chosen to believe in the testimony of God. You've given me your Son, Jesus. Okay? You pray that stuff. Some people hear me pray like, how do you pray like that? I just pray the Bible. I pray what's written. And Isaiah itself says, the word of God cannot return to him void, but it shall accomplish whatever it sets out to do. So if you want to learn how to pray the will of God all the time, you pray the word. This is his will. Hallelujah. Come on, this is it, church. It's not complicated. Pray what's written. You don't got to find the words to pray. Open up your Bible, read it. Well, Lord, this is what you said. And I'm praying it back to you. All right? Verse 14, I'm done. Now this is the confidence that we have in him. That if we ask anything according to his will, he hears us. Hallelujah. This is the confidence we have. This is the boldness we have. That we have his will written out for us. And I come before God and I pray it to him. And anything I ask according to his will, in supplication, is building a case. You guys got that? Supplication is the prayer I pray built based on the case that I find according to the evidence of the word of God. When I pray for healing, why should God heal? Isaiah 53 says, by his stripes we are healed. So whenever I'm praying for healing for somebody, I should, well, according to your word, you said that Jesus Christ was bruised for my iniquities, the chastisement of our peace was upon him, and by his stripes we are healed. So the fact that Jesus took stripes on his body so that I could be healed means that you want me to be healed, because he didn't take those stripes for no reason. All right, so I'm building my case based on what's written. Jesus took lashes, 39 to be exact, across his body. And then you can get technical. Scientists say there are 39 major diseases on the earth. So that means Jesus took a lash for each of the major diseases on the earth. So there is not one disease, not one sickness on this planet that Jesus Christ did not receive a stripe for. So therefore, I'm believing, no matter if it's cancer, diabetes, if it's lupus, if whatever it is, fibroids, you name it, Jesus took a stripe for it. Therefore, this person deserves to be healed. I deserve to be healed. And my supplications, the Bible says, if I send it up to heaven, he will receive my prayers. And the devil hears me quoting the word, and he don't got no case. He's like, I got nothing to say. Case dismissed. Yeah, I like that. Look at somebody next to you, say, the case is dismissed over your life. Throw it out the room. Get this devil out of here. Hallelujah. So you guys didn't know that was going on in heaven over your life. But now you do. Amen. Anybody feel empowered today? Anybody going to start sending up supplications to God? Anybody going to be confident the next time they pray? That confidence comes from the word, right? We take the word of God, we pray it back to heaven. And it is impossible for God to go against his word. We're not going to pray amiss anymore. We're going to pray based off of what is written. And if you have circumstances in your life right now to be overturned, I want you to get a word for it. Get a word. Go in your Bible. Ask the Holy Spirit to show you. Bring back to your remembrance what has been written over my life that allows me to get power and victory over this. And because of the fact that everything that we receive from God is based off of the blood and the word, we're going to take communion right now. And I want you to take communion with the understanding that we have been given the blood and the word and the spirit on earth to continually remind us that God is for us. He's not against us. He cares for us. Many people experience defeat in their lives because they pray, but they pray amiss. Our complaints, our grumblings don't get heaven to respond. We can pray and our prayers never heard, or never heard, or never received, because we're not praying according to what is written. And our boldness, our confidence comes by praying the word of God. So let's all stand. We're going to take communion. If you're in this room and you've surrendered your life to Christ, you believe that you are forgiven because of his love for you, his sacrifice on the cross, we want you to receive communion with us. Even if you're a visitor, but you are a believer, take communion with us. This is not about us, it's not about a church, it's about Jesus. It's about our advocate. And the first thing we can be excited about knowing is that if we sin, we have an advocate who forgives us of our sins. Amen.